ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Police in Idaho say they've captured an escaped prison inmate and another suspect after an intense two-day manhunt. State Police Lieutenant Sheldon Kelly says the pair may be linked to two killings.
We are investigating two homicides at separate locations in Nez Perce and Clearwater counties. These are potentially tied to this incident.
One of the inmates, Skylar Mead, is a member of a white supremacist gang. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez says he won't seek re-election as a Democrat as he fights corruption and other charges, but he says he may run in November as an independent. The House is expected to vote tomorrow on a $1 trillion plus package to avert a potential government shutdown this weekend. The Justice Department has filed a sweeping antitrust lawsuit against Apple. It accuses a tech giant of boxing out competitors, stifling innovation, and keeping prices artificially high. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A one-time associate of former Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani is accusing Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson of spreading misinformation about President Biden's family at the Russian government's behest.
Senator Ron Johnson was our guy in the Senate. He was told to me that when we push the information, he's going to push it in the halls of Congress.
That's Lev Parnas testifying at Biden's impeachment hearing yesterday. Johnson's office says the claim is baseless. More homes are coming on the market in Wisconsin. Prices are going up, too. The Wisconsin Realtors Association's February report shows new listings are up 21% compared to a year ago. The median price is $270,000. Despite those trends, inventory is still tight and mortgage rates are still high. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Duluth public school teachers will be receiving a raise in their next two contracts. The Duluth School Board voted unanimously to approve raises for their teaching staff over the next 4 years. Teachers will receive a 6% raise this year, a 3% raise next year, and 2% raises in each of the next 2 years. School officials said the raises are meant to show teachers the school board appreciates their hard work in creating a great learning environment. There will also be 4 new professional development opportunities. The Duluth City Council will introduce a resolution calling for a permanent ceasefire in Gaza. The move comes following pressure from the community to introduce the resolution, joining a number of other city councils across the country calling for an end to the violence in the region. The City Council is scheduled to discuss the resolution at Thursday's agenda session, and a vote on it could come as soon as next week. The resolution was sponsored by Azrin Awal, Wendy Durwachter, and Mike Mayu. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Bucks lose in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost to the Celtics 122-119. Milwaukee trailed by 15 for most of the game, but closed to within a point in the final minutes. Head coach Doc Rivers after the game.
Yeah, it was one of those games where they kept getting the lead. We kept fighting back. So you love that. We did keep fighting. You know, we end up shooting the ball better than them tonight. I thought our zone was really effective. Mixing back zone man. Just it made them hesitate what they were running.
Tonight it's the Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets in Milwaukee at Five Serve Forum. March Madness, the Wisconsin Badgers getting ready to take on James Madison University, 8:40 tomorrow night. Head coach Greg Gard on what stands out on the tape.
The diversity and the depth that they play with, about 9 guys, and you can tell they've got, you know, Friedel has been around the game, Bickerstaff's been around the game, Edwards, they're all older guys.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A winter weather advisory in effect for the overnight. Snow will be heavy at times, 3 to 5 inches by sunrise, with our overnight lows in the mid-20s. Another inch or less possible early Friday, then mostly cloudy. Our afternoon high topping out in the middle 30s. Right now, it's 31.
The Todd Alba Show.
Our ride into spring continues. We have some great prizes to give away. A weekend getaway at Chula Vista Resort, a bike, and a three-way blender.
A three-in-one blender.
Oh, three-in-one. Sorry, I misread that. We're having our own political threesome
Todd
here.
Todd Alba going with the After Dark Show all of a sudden.
It's always a pleasure.
Is Civic Media, not Cinemax, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, everybody, Todd Alba. Friday, noon to 2, a live report from the NCAA tournament and more on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome Thursday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. And a little bit more tonight. Well, you know, always education. 855-752-4842 is the number if you want to call us. 855-752-4842. Johnny Lupinacci's in the house. How are you,
my
friend?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing good, Tim. You know, it's a Thursday. So I'm so excited because on my drive in to teach this morning, I listened to the show yesterday with Educators Amplified. Loved it. Always love having that recap. And then it's a teaching day. So I'm coming off of, you know, back-to-back sections of teaching the social studies teachers, which is ever exciting because, you know, what we talked about today, we talked about teaching core democratic values. Specifically, we talked on methods for how to do consensus decision-making with children. But the extra bonus points was link it back to what core democratic values did we practice today in our classroom that you're going to teach in your classroom. And so I tell them, we don't just make this up. This is actual stuff. It's curriculum. It's part of social studies. It's part of our public education. And tonight, our guest is kind of an expert in this area. So we're excited to have, you know, Dr. Nancy Flanagan with us.
And her blog, Teacher in a Strange Land. Although, Nancy, you start off, you know, welcome back to Busted Pencils. We always love having you. I think your last episode was whether we should do something with jingle bells.
Oh, my goodness. Yep.
It was timely. You have to.
It was.
Yes.
It was great stuff.
I'm,
but
I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being here. But your blog, you put this is about a good, it's a week now or maybe a little bit more, but we've been holding you back, holding you on and wanting to bring this concept because you ask the question in the title of your blog, do core democratic values belong in schools? Johnny Lupinacci's just kind of starting here saying that he's already indoctrinating new teachers in on those core democratic
values.
You know, doing that indoctrination.
I mean, if you're a citizen in this country, I mean, you basically have signed up that you're supposed to be practicing these. You're supposed to be applying them. So,
yeah. Oh, I don't know. But and you say some, but the you know, and you give us an answer though in the title. Some say no.
Some say no. Yeah, that's the really astonishing thing is that there are people who don't think these core values, which come right out of the foundational documents, the Constitution, the first three core democratic values in the Michigan social studies curriculum were life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So, you know, who's opposed to that?
That's controversial stuff right there. Life, liberty, and the pursuit, not even gaining happiness, just the ability to pursue it. But Though, Nancy, one of the things you even did this, you said core values, and you know, let's do a little touch in the blog here. In fact, one of the issues that came up in Michigan during the writing of the social studies standards, there was a Republican legislator who, for some reason, kind of saw core Democratic values as meaning like schools were teaching, you know, how to value Democrats.
Right.
And he just didn't think that was fair, you know, that there would be. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, he stepped in. This was a few years back, and it was a redo of the social studies standards just because it was time to do it. It wasn't like they said, you know, these are outmoded or anything, but the department every so many years redoes them. They look at what they are and they bring in, they do it the way you're supposed to. They bring in, you know, tons of teachers and experts and they bring in legislators. And this guy, Patrick Colbeck, is, he's kind of known around the state, but
for brilliance.
I'm trying to say something here. Right wing.
His insightful analysis.
His insightful.
Something.
Yeah. He was determined to get rid of any mention of core Democratic values, and he said because they're not neutral. You know, mm-hmm. they're Democratic. He said, I wouldn't want the core Republican values either. And but it wasn't just a matter of him screwing mm-hmm. up and not understanding the label. It was a matter of he wanted to do a lot of things. And I mentioned a few of them in the blog, but this went on for, I don't know, like, you know, months and months. And one of the teachers who was on the team, after I posted the blog, he sent me a private message and he said, I still have nightmares about this. He said, I would never do this again. You know, I'm just a government teacher from Alpena. You know, I can't I can't deal with this, because he, Colbeck, just came in and started pushing, you know, the system out of the way, you know, mm-hmm. with everybody sitting around the table and everybody contributing and reading the comments that they solicited online. And there was nothing that he liked. And he took what tiny little mentions there were in the previous social studies standards of things like the women's movement, LGBTQ rights, you know, just some thing, you know, civil rights, racism, sexism, things that had just kind of lightly been touched upon. He wanted all those out, and he wanted, the most amazing thing to me was that he wanted something inserted that said, when some people get rights, it takes away the rights of others.
Couldn't believe that when I mean, like this is, he's like, you know, like, look, we're going to put in our core Democratic values. First of all, we're not going to call them Democratic because that's a, you know, giving some kind of shout out to Democrats. But one of our core values is recognizing that when certain people get rights, that's how other people's rights get trampled on.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and which is. And some of this is funny and we make this funny, but some of it's absolutely downright serious, because the reality here, and, you know, I made fun of Johnny saying, Johnny, what are you doing, you know, indoctrinating those future teachers in core Democratic values? But the reality here is what you can, it sounds like when you ask the question, do core Democratic values belong in school? Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, keep going on, the common good. People are saying, like, well, some of those issues, I'm not so sure I want our kids. I mean, there's an interesting debate, and I don't mean like a big, but there are people who go, yeah, I'm not so sure schools should be doing that type of stuff. Johnny, I see you got to jump in there.
I mean, I can jump in, Tim. I mean, we did a whole show on my shtick on this. I mean, I love these, and I spend a lot of time with teachers discussing them, teaching them, learning them as adults together, talking about what democracy and actions look like, really going through how do we separate out democratic as an adjective from the noun, the Democrat Party, right? So how can we really understand these democratic values, linking them to primary documents as our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, even human rights and UN documents that, you know, really help bring, you know, like groundedness to why these values are not only values of the United States of America, but of places around the world striving to engage in democratic governance, not the Democrat Party. I think it's important that, like, Nancy wrote about this, is talking about it, and that we're reminded that sometimes when we use those words, they have multiple interpretations that then guide reactions people have. But, you know, we the thing that always gets me, Tim, and the thing we spend the most time talking about is there's this list of really great stuff. And because it's ingrained in our head in the first three we list, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they kind of feel like they're like that we are, that maybe we're prioritizing a few of these here or there, or that you can pick one or two of the values and fight for them. And it's like, hold on. The really important part is that all of these, we practicing democratic citizenship, not being a Democrat, because I know Republicans who value strong democratic participation, right? Mm-hmm. And so that not that they're always well represented by some of their elected officials, but I know like neighbors who believe that all of those things are really valuable. All of those core democratic values are things we'd want to practice and believe in and have faith and trust in one another's competency in them. So great. The hard part is balancing and holding all of them at equal value. Because I might say like Tim, like, hey, it's my right. It's my pursuit of happiness. And in fact, liberty gives me the freedom to pursue my happiness. And I'm not killing anybody, so I value life. But it's not in the interest of the common good. Like, you can't always get your way just because it's what makes you happy. Right? So we're talking, like, it's not always in favor of, you know, truth, of popular sovereignty, of valuing one another's voice, of equality, right? Diversity. We talked about these values. A lot of my really, I don't know what I can call them, friends, neighbors that are far right wing, they always are saying, well, the liberals added diversity and equality to the... No, actually, they've been here. This is not new stuff. These values go back quite a ways, and we can learn about them, but then also how to practice them and balance that they all are held at equal value. So you can't just pick patriotism, define it yourself, and run with it. You have to balance these out.
When you've done that, so let's just remind Nancy, I'm going to just jump in because Johnny put them out there again, right? Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, justice, the common good, equality, truth, diversity, popular sovereignty, and patriotism. Those are the core democratic values, not just the ones you like, but that's all of them. Nancy, I interrupted you, and I know we're about ready to go on break, but go ahead.
Oh, well, I wanted to mention that Ron DeSantis would be, you'd have to put him into the category of someone who doesn't think they belong in schools, because most of the legislation he's been sponsoring and or directing and passing flies in the face of equality and justice. I mean, it's very,
I think that, though, too, put that there and we'll come back to that, is that how many of school, what we're seeing now, are actually going after and suppressing some of these core democratic values intentionally. Yes. Suppression, not lifting. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. It's Educated Educators Talking Education. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Waterworld, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
There's always reasons why I sing, Johnny sings, our guests sing. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Our guest, Nancy Flanagan, blogger, teacher, Teacher in a Strange Land is the blog. Core democratic values, should we be teaching them? Do they belong in schools? Some say no. And in fact, Johnny was going over them, and you know, there's a whole list too. And just again, remind everybody: life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, justice, the common good, equality, truth, diversity, popular sovereignty, and patriotism. There's no debating that those are the core democratic values that have come across social studies standards in civics books for forever, right? I mean, the reality, though, is that we are seeing now, though, as you were saying, Nancy, right before the break, that there are actively pursuits to say, well, some of those maybe we don't really like that much, and public schools, yeah, we're not going to be the place, Johnny, right? I mean,
you got to pick. What do you want? Teach? And this is where I think, you know, Nancy was talking about. I mean, this is if we get to the crux of this, if you're against any of these, you're against all of these. It's an all or nothing. And so if you're starting to pick a few, then you're really just arguing for your version of, say, like Tim, if you pick four that you really like, you can call them. This is like Tim's democracy. This is like, you know, it's a new version. It's a new kind. You probably can't even really use the word democratic and have these values. But if you pick a few of them, it's Tim's government. So now we're talking about many forms of despotism or authoritarianism, or, you know, we get there. We've talked about it on this show and guests have brought it up. Like, dare we say, moving towards a more fascist state. Mm-hmm. And that's when you start to pick one or two of these and argue for them. Or demand that they're focused on and priority, and you use force. That's fascism. You know, so
Nancy, you made comment of that very early in the blog.
Yeah. Yes. The one that I would isolate and highlight right now as being particularly difficult is truth. Mostly because there are so many sources. It's something like 45% of all people get most of their political news from social media, and kids, you know, that's where they get truth. And truth is a really murky thing. So it's very hard. And I think if there's one thing that we could do, public education could do and should do, it's put a much greater focus on how to tell the difference between truth and something that is, you know, designed to move your opinion in one way or another. I see this all the time with the kids that I'm volunteering with, who are middle school kids. These are kids who need an adult in their life. And the things that they think and they know and they believe are really, really frightening to me. And I think that's a major change from when the three of us were growing up. And and I grew up before you did. But, you know, there was still truth out there. Yeah. And it's really hard to recognize what's true and what's not.
But you said that too, and it just reminded me, you know, when I was a fifth grade teacher, fact and opinion, right? That was like it was like every third reading lesson had teaching the difference between fact and opinion. And guess what? There were right answers for being facts, and things were the right if you picked them as an opinion. And if you got a fact and you classified it as an opinion, I marked it wrong. Because I was supposed to, and you say the alternative truths, all these different things, but yeah, recognizing truth. I think though, maybe it's more this that you hear people going, like, I just don't like that truth. And so we're not going to teach that because I don't like that truth. And so, that truth makes me uncomfortable. It might be true, but it makes me uncomfortable. And you know what? The new legislation says that if you make me uncomfortable, I can complain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, think about Johnny, right?
Well, yeah, and to some degree, learning to put into practice these democratic values is sharing your dissent, is talking about different ways you're experiencing it, is acknowledging that maybe you have a different perspective or that you're getting information from a different place. Mm-hmm. But it's balanced out by the others too. I think Nancy's really dead on with like focusing. If we're going to talk about some of these, especially where the controversy seems to converge, this core value of truth is really in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. And it also is, it's a call to us to break it down, to talk about that. It's part of why transparency is important, why trustworthiness of things you share, of decisions we make together as a group or what we're learning in our classroom, why we build a trustworthiness around scientific consensus or around the body of knowledge that's out there on a particular issue, that we're not excluding that there are other views, but that we're saying that given like learning about all these things, we have to build a trustworthiness in the base of our experience from experts. And this is a time, like I know, like Nancy, Tim, you both we're acknowledging it. This is a time where we're also battling as a culture, grappling with this notion of everybody's an expert if they can get on the internet. And so that's just simply not true. But we are struggling from it as a culture because like there are certain things I learned to do in plumbing, working with master plumbers, that I know I don't really do that well, but I know they do. It's their profession, their expertise. They have a knowledge set. I might be able to look some stuff up on the internet, but I'm probably not going to be able to do it as well as an expert. So I need to build trust and truth and things in that kind of relationship. And it's all those ways where we begin to learn that it's okay to rely on one another. It's not a weakness. It's okay to recognize expertise in someone other than yourself, right? And to build strength in, there we go with the other core democratic value, diversity.
Well, I was going to say, in fact, that one, what you made me think about, you know, truth and diversity, holding those two things together, as you said, constant, can create some friction. Well, and you know what? That's okay. Nancy, I say you're not right.
Yeah.
That's it. This is such a big thing. And, you know, we started out talking about core democratic values as being part of an overall social studies curriculum, but really they're woven into everything. I taught instrumental and vocal music, and the core democratic values in the way you run your classroom, for one thing. But I'm thinking here about patriotism and how you teach kids, with their clarinets and their saxophones to play patriotic songs and to show up for the parade because, you know, their uncles and their great uncles and their grandparents showed up for even bigger things and what it means to respect that. And that was all woven into my curriculum, too. And that's really important. It's not just a social studies thing. This is like David Labery, and he talks about the three purposes of education, about democratic equality and job training and social mobility. Well, the key thing for me is democratic equality. If kids can't see that, we're not teaching anything at all about citizenship. not just
Busted Pencils. Yeah, Busted Pencils. We'll be right back after the break.
Friday morning on Up North News Radio, media critic Mark Jacob, national correspondent Kia Vakil, and Brittany Merlo's weekend forecast.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A former Milwaukee election official is found guilty of election fraud. A jury says Kimberly Zapata used fake names to get a hold of military absentee ballots illegally. Her lawyer argued she was a whistleblower. Zapata could get up to 5 years in prison. Governor Evers says Wisconsinites are embracing mental health care, but